chair to the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, the Predators fans are mad at me.
Because
I said I did not worry about Colorado in a playoff series.
Oh, they're learning. They know as soon as you jump out there like that, you doom somebody.
They haven't lost to Colorado in 2 years.
Doesn't make any difference.
I'm just saying.
Yes, you are.
Just like the Patriots should not fear the Steelers in the playoffs, the Preds will be okay with Colorado in the Stanley Cup playoffs if that were to be the case. We'll get to the Preds in a second, but I do want to get to some notes as the legal tampering period is going on right now in the NFL, and I've been kind of wondering, where are the Titans with all the legal tampering that they need to be doing, because we're not hearing about it from the Adam Schefters or the Ian Rappaports or the quote-unquote insiders. We're not hearing about any of that. However, Jason Wolf of the Tennessean has this. The Titans want to keep starting left guard Quentin Spain, and they plan to tender the restricted free agent at the lowest level, ensuring that the team has a chance to match any deal he receives on the opening on the open market. An NFL source told the Tennessean on Monday the qualifying offer guarantees Spain a one-year, $1.9 million contract for next season. Wolf goes on to write that the Titans also want to keep linebacker Avery Williamson and right guard Josh Klein, as well as starting defensive lineman Daquan Jones, who are all unrestricted free agents, but all the players appear interested in testing the free agent market, which begins at 3 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. So the Titans are at least trying to keep Klein, Williamson, Spain, and Daquan Jones. Now, of that group, correct me if I'm wrong here, the one guy that I really want to keep is Daquan Jones. The other guys I'm kind of whatever on. Is that fair or foul?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think Daquan, when he got hurt, affected the team a little bit. And you would like to keep Williamson. You know, I mean, he's played good for us. He does have some limitations, and we all know that. And really, I mean, you'd love to have the guard. If you could mix in another veteran guy that would help you rotate the guards around, then, you know, I'd be fine if they came in and one of them was a backup.
See, I think Klein is better than Spain. So if you told me that I had to keep one or the other, I would keep Klein and then look to draft a guard in the third or fourth round and start that guard. So I draft a guard in the third or fourth round, start him, and I keep Klein. And I think Jones will rebound, and I like my two tackles. So I feel good about my – and I like Kelly, so I like my offensive line if that's the group I've got. I don't necessarily want Spain and Klein both back because I'm not convinced either are very good players.
Well, again, I think if you can pick up a guy that comes in and is a starter and now one of those guys is the backup, and the other guy is a starter along with whoever you brought in, then you've improved yourself.
You cool with paying Spain $1.9 million to be a backup?
You're going to pay him one way or the other. You know.
A backup guard, though, $1.9 million?
Sure.
It's a lot of money, dude.
Yeah.
Now, you got $60 million on the cap, so who knows about that. But then Terry McCormick at TitanInsider.com reports a lot of the same things that Jason Wolf was reporting. But he writes, quote, linebacker Avery Williamson is still a player the Titans have interest in retaining, though he could draw interest from other clubs. Earlier in the day, a report said that Williamson had rejected a four-year, $12 million offer from the Titans. However, according to Terry McCormick, a source with knowledge of the situation said in a text, quote, no idea what you're talking about when asked if that report was true. And you said earlier today on the show that most of these reports are not very true, talking about the national media and the Schefters and the... So if ESPN's reporting a four-year, $12 million deal for Williamson was declined, and a source is telling Terry McCormick, I have no idea where you're getting that from, what's that tell us?
It tells us that he's trying to drum up, some business.
Isn't that the bat sign out there saying offer us more than $12 million? Right? Like hey, you offer 16, you got a shot at getting Avery.
Well, this is one of those where I don't know if in fact that the Titans have made that offer. But if you have made that offer and they were not happy with it, Williamson and his agent, whoever that may be, then the first thing you do is throw it out there and fish it. And go from there. Now, a lot of times that will anger the club, and they may withdraw it. That's what I used to do. If you went public with an offer I made, it was automatically withdrawn.
What if it was a really good player that you couldn't do without?
No, I'm talking about with anybody. It didn't make any difference if you were really good or not.
Okay, so if Steve McNair, you know, put out there what you offered, you would have withdrawn the offer and not tried to sign Steve McNair back?
No, I didn't say I wouldn't try to sign him back.
You just would take that offer away.
Yes.
But then what if you lose Steve McNair? Then you look stupid.
That wasn't going to happen.
Terry McCormick, a Titan insider, continues to say the team has also met with representatives for free agent linebacker Eric Walden, but he appears set to hit the free agent market. In addition to Spain, it appears the Titans may not be inclined to tender exclusive rights free agent Curtis Riley, a backup safety. That tender offer would be $700,000, which means the Titans, if they have interest in retaining Riley, might be better off signing him to an extension with a lower base salary. You can keep Curtis Riley or get rid of Curtis Riley. It don't mean a difference to me. I don't care what they do with Curtis Riley. The interesting thing in here, and it just because Terry McCormick doesn't report it doesn't mean that it's not true, but both Terry McCormick and Jason Wolf in both their articles do not on any level report a conversation with Eric Decker or Eric Decker's agents, which makes me wonder if the Titans have moved on from Eric Decker, if they have no interest in bringing Eric Decker back, or if Eric Decker has no interest in coming back, either one.
Well, I think what you do, generally speaking, is you try to get to the guys that you think are going to drum up the most business. And those are the guys you talk to, you know, first. So that if, in fact, you hit one at the right time and he likes your deal, then, boom, maybe you get a deal done before they ever get to free agency. So, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of that kind of work going on. I mean, we ended up signing – when did we sign Decker last year? We signed him just before camp. So, I mean, he'll be out there this
now,
July.
Remember,
too.
He got released by the Jets in July or whatever.
All right.
So it's not like that's why it took him so long to sign, not because Decker's a bad player.
Well, I think he'll probably go through kind of the same thing this year, and they can, you know, with somebody like him, they'll say, hey, you know, we'll get to you. Don't worry about it.
So that's on the table. Your thoughts on Titans free agency. Again, while the legal tampering period's going on, I would like to hear a little bit of legal tampering from the Titans. Like Titans have talked to Ndamukong Suh, or Titans have talked to Trumaine Johnson, or Titans have talked to – I'd just like to hear a little bit of that. That's all I'd like to hear, just a little bit of it. So that's on the table at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matthew's got a thought on the Preds, who lost to Jersey, ending their winning streak. He's up next. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say real quick that I appreciate all your takes. I agree with you and Jared about 80% of the time. I kind of fall to the GM on NFL football. But trumpet your takes, stand by them. But I'm sure there's radio hosts up in Chicago that was saying the same thing about Nashville last year after beating us 4 out of 5 games.
There was a radio host in Nashville that was saying the same thing about playing Chicago.
Amen.
I mean, I'm just to tell you how it is. But, I mean, they've beaten Colorado 8 times in a row. If they lose to Colorado, that will be the single most disappointing outcome of the Nashville Predators season possible. A first-round exit as a 1 seed to Colorado. Seriously, they got 1 player on that team. 2, if you count Landeskog. Like, I mean, come on now. Ian, I want
it
you
It would be disappointing.
I want you to get on my guarantee with me.
I don't know about that.
I want you to get on there with me.
I don't know about a guarantee. I mean, a 7-game series right now, let's be honest, the Preds are looking pretty solid against anybody in the West.
How many games does take out Colorado? 5?
Yeah, maybe 6.
See, like if we were going around the room right now, if game 1 was tomorrow and we were picking it, Floyd would say 6 games. Ian would say probably 6 or 5 games. I'm picking them in 4. Preds in 4 against Colorado. And I wasn't even willing to – that's how – remember how strong I was saying the Blackhawks were going to win? I said Blackhawks in 5. I'm going Preds in 4 if they play Colorado. 615-737-1025 is the number. But coming up next, the legal tampering period of free agency has started. And we've got what the Titans need to do in free agency, position by position. The GM, Floyd Reese, will tell us what the Titans' needs are next on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Julian.
You know, we've got a process that we go through. Obviously, we have a new coaching staff. You know, we kind of in the midst of evaluating our roster, evaluating some prospective free agents, and then kind of turning the page on the draft guys as well.
John Robinson, they got to figure it out with a new coach in place, which is probably things that we're not even sure of how they're going to operate. But free agency is starting. The legal tampering period is going on. Trades are getting made, including the Bills trading, I think he's an all-pro, at least former all-pro, tackle Cordy Glenn to the Bengals for the Bengals' first-round pick. So the Bengals get the Bills' first-round pick at 21 and Cordy Glenn, and the Bills get the Bengals' pick, which is at 12.
Boy, the Bills are loaded up on picks.
Well, supposedly the rumor now is that the Bills are trading up so that they can go get their quarterback, which is funny because last year they traded out so Kansas City could get a quarterback, and now the Bills are going to be trading in so they can get a quarterback.
Good luck.
Lamar Jackson. Go from Tyrod Taylor to Lamar Jackson, better, younger version of Tyrod Taylor. But the Titans free agency is upon us. The legal tampering is here. Wednesday, I was, true story, going to take a vacation. I'm taking a vacation in the near future, but I was going to take a vacation, and it was going to be on Wednesday. And I sat down with our boss, Ryan Porth, host of Preds Insiders, which is, because since he's our boss, it is a fantastic show you should listen to every day. But I sat down with Ryan. I said, what about Wednesday the 14th or whatever it is? And we looked at it, said, yeah, it's probably a good time to take vacation. Start a free agency. So free agency is upon us. And without further ado, the GM has his free agency needs for the Titans. So, Floyd, without further ado, please take us to what these free agency needs are.
Yeah, I mean, these are, we've discussed most of these in the past. I think in spite of whether or not they're keeping their offensive guards, I think they need a guard, somebody inside. I would prefer a veteran player than I would a draft choice, although, you know, if a draft choice comes in, chances are you've still got your two starting guards, assuming they can keep the two guys. We need a rusher.
Hold on, before you get to that, the current situation at guard right now, by my count, is Josh Klein is an unrestricted free agent, Quentin Spain is a restricted free agent who the Titans have offered a tender to, and Brian Schwenke is an unrestricted free agent and a guy who the Titans kicked to the curb last year and then had to bring him back because they didn't like any of the guys they brought in to tank Schwenke's spot.
Right.
And my guess is they're not going to bring him back again after that. So really, the way you look at it, you could say that they have guards in place, but Klein's a free agent, Spain's a free agent, Schwenke's a free agent, which means as of right now, they have no guards.
Yeah, I mean, they'll get Spain back. I think we're pretty sure of that. But we need to decide what we're going to do with those other two guys and then bring in another one, in my opinion. And again, I would like a veteran guy that would be able to fill that role. We're going to have to get a rusher. I think we would all prefer an edge rusher, but if it has to be an inside rusher, so be it. But we've got to have somebody that we can count on to put pressure on the quarterback. You know, if it means we have to move him around, that's fine. If we've got to change the position, that's fine. But somebody has got to be able to knock down the quarterback. With regularity.
Current edge rushers on the roster, Arakpo and Morgan, I think, are both entering the last year of their contracts, and neither of those, no offense, are spring chickens. So my guess is they're probably not going to be retained when they're up. Kevin Dodd will obviously be back with the team, supposedly. It's interesting how new coach Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease will use him. But then the other one, Aaron Wallace, comes back from an injury where he was out last year. Wallace, while he's not a great player, has shown that the one thing he can do is get to the quarterback. So there's some hope there when Wallace comes back, but not a whole lot of hope.
Right. I mean, those guys have to earn their way onto the roster, in my mind. You know, if you're a young guy and you get hurt, you've got to come out and prove that you're not only a player, but you can be a healthy player.
Next position.
Then I would go probably to, it doesn't matter, this is really in no order, linebacker. I think we need We need a three down inside linebacker. Somebody that is going to be talented enough that he can play, first down and third down. Now, it's not unusual to change them around like we do. We've got our first down group, and then they leave, and we bring in the young guys, and they play on third down. We really need help on passing downs, third downs. I mean, we're just struggling like crazy with coverage there.
I was going to say, at linebacker right now, the inside linebacker position, Wesley Woodyard is under contract for, I think, one more year. But he is obviously not young, and today reports came out that Avery Williamson turned down a contract extension. The report was for 4 years, $12 million, that he turned that down. But again, to your point, neither Woodyard nor Williamson nor Jayon Brown are every down players. And Dean Pease, his best defenses have had every down players like Ray Lewis and like Adalys Thomas and a lot of those type linebackers are everyday players that Dean Pease is used to.
And they're all kind of the same guys. I mean, he'll take some of those undersized guys like we've seen at the University of Alabama, and those guys can come in and in his system literally play every snap. Then I would go to running back. We're going to have to get a running back. We don't know what type. We don't know, if he's going to be a mirror image of what we have or the complete opposite. We just don't know. So, I mean, I think that has to be a consideration. And then I guess I'd go to wide receiver. I mean, we have to get our wide receiving core. This may be the single biggest problem on this entire team.
Maybe the history of the team.
I mean, we just can't get that right. I mean, it's too hard. And then if I had another one, I'd love to get another DB. I said DB because it doesn't matter. I think it depends on what you're going to do with some of the DBs we have. If we have some of these cover corners that can't cover, then they're going to have to become safeties or go. And so there may be some guys that fit that description. And if they do, that's fine. Give them a try at safety, see what you get. But you never have enough corners. And in my mind right now, I mean, we're minus the safety. So we're going to have to fill that role.
So your needs in the free agent market right now, guard, edge rusher, linebacker, running back, wide receiver, and one defensive back. Boy, that's a lot of stuff to go get.
Yeah, although when you think about it, and I think this is just indicative of what we've talked about before. We talked last week about how, I've had teams where, when I did this exercise, you would have one position. that's all we need. So we're subsidizing everything else and looking for a starting whatever it was. But I think that goes to show you where, as far as we've come, which we've come a long ways, we got a long way to go.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the needs of the Titans in the free agency market. 615-737-1025. That's where Floyd has it. Offensive guard, edge rusher, linebacker, running back, receiver, and defensive back. Let's go to your phones. Glenn is up first here on the Titans. Thank you for calling. What's up, Glenn?
Yeah, I just had two quick questions. The first one that's kind of jumping out to me is the fact that Robinson had to take Malarkey as his coach. How much has that affected the player personnel decisions? Because clearly Malarkey had a different system than I think that Robinson wants. And then the second question I had was, how big of a mistake was it that we did not get a free agent wide receiver last year like Jeffries or the other guy in Philadelphia and just relied on rookies? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for the call, Glenn.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. But
Decker did have a decent year, though, as a free agent receiver.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were some people that didn't think he would do much.
I didn't say he did a lot. I said he had a decent year.
But he ended up being our leading receiver, I believe.
Is that true? No, I think Delanie Walker and Matthews were the leading receivers.
Well, Delanie Walker's a tight end.
Well, I think Matthews led the team in receiving yards.
receiving receptions.
I don't know that one. I'm sure Decker also led in drops.
I don't know. So considering that, I mean, I think he's, you know, was a very, very nice find. But, I mean, again, there are receivers are hard to come by. You're not going to get receivers every year. And that's why when they're there, you kind of have to jump at them. And the truth is, I mean, we had gotten to the point where after trying to draft some guys that it's easier. And I think New England's a prime example of this. New England very, very seldom drafts a receiver. Why? Because they had the same problems we did. They just could not draft one. And so what do they do now? They go out in a free agency. And when there's a receiver there that they like or somebody that they think has value, they jump up and trade for them. And I think we've seen Amendola that happened with. You know, Jules was a seventh rounder. Wesley Welker was a trade.
Moss
was a trade. Cooks was a trade. I mean, they're all guys that that they see out there in the league someplace they like, trade for them, and they're off and running.
615-737-1025. Floyd, I have to give you credit, and I tweeted this out yesterday, but I do have to give you credit. Your Kentucky Wildcats did win the SEC basketball tournament, which you had predicted for the whole week. There was never a doubt in Floyd's mind. Every time I asked him, Floyd, who's going to win the SEC basketball tournament? And every time I said that, you just fired back with?
Kentucky.
Every time. Floyd believed Kentucky was going to win the SEC men's basketball tournament. I was impressed what I saw out of the Cats. Floyd, do your Cats have a shot at the Final Four? We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, we're all right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
77-72 Kentucky. Long three, no good. The Cats are the champions of the SEC tournament for the fourth year in a row, defeating 12th-ranked Tennessee 77-72 here in St. Louis.
I define the roles. Now, you may say, why didn't you do that at the beginning of the year? Because I don't know. These are all 18-year-olds. This is all freshmen. I didn't know them that way. I didn't coach them every day. It took me 3 months to figure out, okay, here are the roles.
Floyd, your Wildcats are champions of the Southeastern Conference once again. Now, Tennessee gave them everything they could handle, but it really was a snooze fest for Kentucky. I told you that on Friday. I go, they're going to walk to the finals. And they did. And then they beat Tennessee. And even though it was a close game at times, watching the game yesterday, did you ever doubt Kentucky was going to win?
You know, I don't think I did. Simply because I think you could look at Kentucky and see that they're a notch above in the talent level. I mean, they've got two or three or four players, you know, better than just about anybody that Tennessee had. And
yeah,
so,
there's no Shea Gilgeous Alexander on
no
Tennessee's
and
team.
And so, you know, you look at that guy and you think, geez, they can't stop him. And there's a couple of them. Now, they did help when they fouled out, you know, a couple guys. Then all of a sudden, you know, you started thinking, uh-oh. Can this, you know, be a factor? But no, it wasn't. Kentucky ended up pulling away when they needed to.
Floyd, the one thing I was surprised about with Kentucky over the weekend, like, their freshmen always do this, right? Like, they always get to this point in the year, and you heard Cal talking there about, you know, well, I defined their roles for them because I had to figure it out, and you got to give Cal credit, if for nothing else, when it comes to getting his freshmen to take their heads out of their collective rear ends and get them to start playing basketball when it matters. Cal does a great job of that.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, when you take into consideration those are, what do you say, the five 18-year-olds?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're five guys that probably still should be in high school, and they just won the SEC tournament. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
But the superstar of the group, in my opinion, for the SEC tournament, the big difference, like the big surprise, was Wenyen Gabriel. Because in the two games, Wenyen Gabriel did not miss a jump shot. And I knew Wenyen Gabriel when he was like 13 or 14. He worked a basketball camp I was working up in New Hampshire. And like, so I, you know, I found out I was going to Kentucky. I'm like, oh, okay, wow. And he was kind of a disappointment as a freshman. And as a sophomore, he didn't really get off the bench much. He started some, but then Cal put him right back on the bench. And Wendon Gabriel looked like he was going down the Alex Poitras Calipari disappointment route. You know, Cal brings in all the five stars, all the McDonald's All-Americans, and then every now and then a couple of them don't really work out. And I thought Wendon Gabriel was going to be that way, and then Wendon Gabriel just absolutely takes over the SEC tournament. And, like, I know Gilgeous Alexander's really good. I know Knox is really good. I know those stud freshmen. I know they're good. Gabriel, I wasn't so sold on. And so if the question is, do we think the Kentucky Wildcats could make a run to the Final Four, I think a lot of that depends on if the guys around the studs continue to play well. Because it's not the studs are not the studs of old. It's not just Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and those guys who could literally stud their way to the Final Four. Knox and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and those guys cannot, P.J. Washington and Jared Vitter, they cannot stud their way to the Final Four. But I think I see a little bit of one of those Cal teams that just gets it cooking this time of year.
Well, it's the part that's impressive, I think, is that, you know, you get a guy that fouls out and you bring in another guy who is also a five-star, you know, player, and he just started in the beginning of the year, didn't do much, and then all of a sudden gets a chance, he goes out there and does a little bit. So you kind of get excited. I don't know that I see the completeness of this team. You know, I'm not sure that I see this team and think of I love the athleticism. I thought they moved the ball around really well. They are good at all that. They are very, when they get isolated on somebody, they can do stuff handling the ball that not many people can do. I mean, they really are special with all that. And I'm not sure when you play a really, really good team with some good players on it that you can get away with all that. Maybe you can, but I think I'd be a little bit surprised.
Well, like, take, for example, yesterday. No offense to Bone and Bowden and Lamonte Turner and those guys for Tennessee, but they just can't run with Gilgeous Alexander and Quade Green and that group. But when you get to Arizona, because Arizona's cheating too. I mean, Arizona's got all the stud freshmen out there and the wiretaps and the Andy Millers, and they got the studs too now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a second-round matchup. I mean, the matchups that Kentucky – I just wrote this down. This is Kentucky's road to the Final Four. And I'll contrast it with Tennessee's. Kentucky's road to the Final Four includes Arizona in the second round, Virginia in the Sweet 16, the number one overall seed in the tournament, and then either Tennessee or Cincinnati in the Elite Eight. I mean, if they get past Virginia and get to the Elite Eight, Kentucky should go to the Final Four. But they got to get through Arizona, who was preseason like number one or number two, and then they got to get through UVA. And Cal was even complaining about that yesterday, saying just the committee threw absolutely everything they had at them.
Happy for the kids. I'm happy for Wenyon. I'm happy for Sasha. Quade's playing better. PJ's playing better. I mean, they're all playing better. So now we, you know, it's been thrown at us. You're not advancing. We're everything we can throw in front of you, we are. Have at it. And what's better than that?
So Cal kind of with what's better than that? Come on, Cal. We know how you feel, Cal.
He's funny.
Well, Cal always complains about the draw. But I think Cal's probably right. Tennessee's road to the Final Four. We just mentioned that Kentucky's road goes through Arizona, Virginia, and then Tennessee or Cincinnati. Tennessee's road to the Final Four goes through Wright State, Loyola Chicago probably, because I have no faith in Miami, and then Cincinnati or Texas. Like, that's Tennessee's road to the Final Four. And then, like, Kentucky or Virginia or somebody like that at the end, right, in the Elite Eight. Kentucky's road is Arizona in round two. So the question is, Floyd, do Floyd's UK Wildcats look like a legit threat to go to the Final Four? And I just don't know.
I mean, I have to question that, too. I mean, I think it's going to be hard. Now, can they do enough between now and then to change a lot? I don't know that they can. Maybe they can. I mean, you have to admit, Cal is a master at taking these young teams like this, putting them all together, you know, throw them in a bag, shake them up, and come out with something magic. And maybe he can do it again, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a little bit tougher with this group. I just don't see the guy that is going to go out there, even though there may be two or three of them. I'm not sure they've got the number one draft choice, you know, the guy that's going to come out there and just light it all up and is absolutely unstoppable.
I don't know, man. The question is, okay, so we're both in agreement with Kentucky that the studs, the freshman studs, Knox, Gilgeous Alexander, P.J. Washington, the stud freshman.
Right.
Those guys are not good enough on their own to get Kentucky to the Final Four.
I don't think they are.
Can the other players, can Sasha Kalia-Jones, Winyon Gabriel, can that group, can those guys do enough to get those studs over the top?
Yeah. See, I mean, that's the question. And I don't, that's the level they're missing in my mind. You know, the guy, like you said, you could say, okay, this guy will step up. Now, they could all step up and none of them could step up. And that'll probably be the difference. If they all step up, maybe they can make it to the Final Four. If none of them step up, then, you know, they're going to have a tough time getting past Arizona and Virginia.
I do wonder, though, if they get that matchup with Virginia, if they can just straight out talent them. You know, just straight out talent Virginia. They're not going to out talent Arizona.
No.
But they could out talent Virginia. Now, Virginia might out coach them because, you know, that's the other side of the coin. You know, the discipline and the coaching and everything that Virginia has. I'm torn on it. I'm torn on Floyd's Wildcats making a run to the Final Four.
Mm. It's not going to be easy. But you know what? Truth is, it'd be interesting to look back and think about what you thought about the teams at this point in time in the years past. You know, Kentucky teams I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you thought about where they were and what they were going to do. And I'm sure there were doubts about a bunch of those teams, too.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I've got a Preds theory. Ooh, and I love this Preds theory, too. God, I love this Preds theory. Ugh. And you know what happens if I love it? What do you think that means? If I've got a Preds theory that I'm in love with, and I think the people in their cars know what that means.
Yeah, there's something wrong with it.
It means that you hate it. If I've got something I love, it means you hate it. And there's probably a chance of that. Jared and the GM live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. ESPN 102.5 The Game is your flagship home of the reigning Western Conference champion Nashville Predators. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and like us on Facebook to keep up with everything in Smashville. Twitter at 102.5 The Game. Instagram at The Game Nashville. Facebook.com/The Game Nashville. And I'm on Twitter at Jared Stillman. The blue check mark on Twitter lets you know it's me. And I'm on Instagram at the Jared Stillman. And again, we need as many people to go follow that Instagram as possible. Let's go try to get 30 people today to follow that Instagram. Be one of those 30. Be one of those 30. Be in your car right now or be wherever and say, you know what? I need to be one of those 30. And I need to go follow Jared's Instagram at the Jared Stillman. And I might post a picture on Instagram of something I did this weekend. So how's that? So then people can see what I'm doing this weekend if they go follow me at the Jared Stillman on Instagram. Jared and the GM, my Preds theory next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Greg Smith, 1-3 this season, 11 of 68 in his career on the shootout. He skips up to take the puck, comes in through the left side, hesitates, and he tried to get a backhander, poke checked away by Kincaid. The Devils empty the bench. They have ended the Predators' winning streak after 10 games. Beating Nashville in a shootout, 3-2.
We don't ever talk about streaks, really. We just, you know, we got a huge game coming up. Winnipeg, when we do come back to work, we're probably only going to talk about that and getting ready for Winnipeg. That's a big game. I mean, that's we'll look at it to stretch out the division, and they're going to look at it to close the gap, and both teams are going to fight pretty hard for it.
So the Preds lost on Saturday night, right, Floyd Reese?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you know who did not play on Saturday night?
Yes, sir.
The goalie did not play on Saturday night.
Right.
So, I'm trying to make this case that nobody backs up. See, everyone's all on this Pekka for Vezina kick, which I think is so ridiculous. Like, you don't need to be on the Pekka for Vezina kick because Pekka's going to win the Vezina because they're going to be the best team in the Western Conference, and the MVP's probably going to be on Tampa's team, or at least two of the top eight skaters in the league are on Tampa's team. So Tampa's goalie at the end of the day is not going to win the Vezina, so your guy is. So what a lot of you people should be doing is taking all of that energy in your Pekka for Vezina argument and putting it towards your Pekka for MVP argument, Pekka for Hart argument, because I think there's a legitimate argument there. But Floyd, does it not make my argument more valid that Pekka's a legit MVP candidate if the team doesn't lose when he's in there, then he goes out and they lose? And by the way, their last loss before this past one, UC Soros was in net too. And Soros played good games in both of them. But I'm just saying.
Let me say this. If you're losing, you're not playing good games.
Well, I would disagree with that. But I'll say this. The last two losses have been Soros. So what does that tell you? Does that not strengthen my argument? Because again, my theory is Preds win 9 in a row, Pekka goes out, they lose. So what's that tell you? I think that tells you something about the most valuable player in the NHL. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
What do you think of that theory?
Not much.
Why not? If you took Tom Brady.
It makes me think we need to do something with the backup goalie. Get him cranked up.
Well, I think the backup goalie is the only reason you were in the game on Saturday night. But.
Did we lose?
Yeah, but it wasn't his fault.
Oh.
I mean, look, he stopped every shot in the shootout. You just couldn't score. The first three shots, he stopped them all in the shootout. All you have to do is put the puck in one time, which they really do stink on the shootout. I mean, Ryan Ellis is pretty good, and Kyle Turris is pretty good, and everybody else sucks at it. But, I mean, quite frankly, all you have to do is just put one of those pucks in the net, and you win. So I hate the goalie's fault. But again, if you have the other goalie in there, do you win? And does that go back to the point that at least he should be in the discussion? I am so disheartened by all of like the Preds media and when I say Preds media, I mean people who work for the team, like not even thinking, you know what? The star goalie who wins almost every time he's out there, who put the team on his back to get to the Stanley Cup final last year, should be a legitimate MVP candidate. They don't even think about that. It's just all, oh, yeah, no, he should win the goalie award. Well, no, duh, he should win the goalie award. Everybody thinks he should win the goalie award. The question is the non-goalie award, which I think he should win, or at least be in the discussion, because when he goes out, they lose. That's all I'm saying. It's like Adam Vingan coming on the show the other day, and Adam Vingan trying to make the argument of, well, if they had average goaltending, they'd be in the same spot. Really? They took out their star goalie, put in a guy who I thought played better than average goalie, and you lost. That's most valuable. You are, to me, the most valuable player when you're not in, your team is significantly worse. You know who should have been the NFL MVP in 2011? Peyton Manning should have been the MVP of the league. Did not play a snap that season and should have been most valuable player in the NFL. You know why?
No.
Because when Peyton Manning is in, the Colts are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And when Peyton Manning is out, the Colts are picking first in the NFL draft. That is value. That's value. What do you think? Be honest with me. What do you think the New England Patriots are with Tom Brady out as quarterback?
Who's the backup?
Brian Hoyer. Brady tears his ACL first game of the year next season. Hoyer's started the rest of the way. 7-9?
No, I'd say 9 or 10 wins.
I mean, I don't even think they're 10 wins. I think
maybe
the Patriots.
9 wins.
I think because that Patriots team that got was 11-5 and didn't make the playoffs with Matt Cassel, that team was the best team in the history of the NFL, in at least my lifetime of watching it. That was the best team that they ever had, that I've ever seen, that 2007 Patriots team. So then you flash forward to 2008, Brady tears his ACL, they go from 16-0 to 11-5, and they're not even a playoff team. This team that they currently have is significantly worse than that team, which, again, makes me think that they're probably a 7 or 8-win team without Tom Brady. That's why he's really valuable. Carson Wentz, you can say, hey, Carson Wentz is in the MVP discussion. Is he? Carson Wentz goes out, the team's fine. They're fine without Carson Wentz. So to me, he's not in the discussion for most valuable. Pekka goes out, you lose. Guess what happens tomorrow when Pekka goes back in?
What?
Probably going to win. So I just think it strengthens the argument that he should. First of all, there's not, to me, it's not even really a debate. If you look at the numbers, Chris Mason did a good job of this on Twitter last week. But if you look at the numbers, Pekka wins almost every category against Andre Vasilevskiy of Tampa Bay for the Vezina. But I think it should strengthen the MVP discussion. If you win when he's in and then he goes out, you lose, and you go nine games in between and Soros takes both losses, again, should be in the discussion. And I don't know why I'm the only person in the world who thinks this.
Your discussion's not drawing a lot of steam.
What do you mean?
Your argument for Pekka and MVP.
Look, maybe it's because the old hockey, you know, in Montreal, the way we set it is if you are the goalie and you must be the... Maybe it's like that thing, and maybe I'm not like with that old school hockey thinking, the same old school hockey thinking that's, you know, P.K. Subban has to be traded because he's bigger than the organization. And in Montreal, you cannot be bigger than the organization. Maybe like that old school hockey thinking, maybe I'm not in line with that, but I'm not trying to be in line with that.
I just started to say that's one of the options. The other option is you're wrong.
Okay, so you're going to give it to Nathan MacKinnon on Colorado. Hey, Nathan MacKinnon, without Nathan MacKinnon, Colorado's not even barely a playoff team, Jared. Okay, so why don't we give the Phillip Rivers the MVP award in football? Hey, you know, Phillip Rivers, that Chargers team is 9-7. If Phillip Rivers isn't there, they're a two-win football team. We never give him the MVP. We never give somebody on the Toronto Raptors an MVP in basketball. It's always Steph Curry or LeBron or somebody like. So I don't. Nathan MacKinnon and Taylor Hall, Jared, their teams would not be where they are without them. Okay, and Edmonton would be the by far worst team in the league without Connor McDavid. They're still horrible. So it drives me up a wall. Ravi is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Ravi?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show, as always.
Thank you.
So I do agree that Pekka should be in the talks of winning not only the Vezina, but the MVP award, the Hart, I think is called. And you just made an interesting point, which did make me think. It's usually the winning team in the NBA, the winning team, the one player on that team that usually gets the finals MVP and usually the regular season, too, which is interesting. And that would be a good case because, you know, the Preds are doing really good right now. Well, we're second in the league, 2 points behind the Lightning.
Nope, gotta give it to Nathan MacKinnon, man. Colorado, thank you for the call. They would only stink worse if he wasn't there. Nope, gotta give it to Nathan MacKinnon. So, whatever. I'm done with this conversation, though. I'm done with the whole, well, in hockey tradition in Montreal, you cannot be bigger than that. If you are the goalie, you have to be. I'm done with it. I'm just done with it. I'm done with it, and if Pekka loses the Vezina, you all can cry about it, and I'm not going to cry whatsoever. 615-737-1025. Got some big NFL free agent headlines to get to. We'll do that next. We'll get the GM's take on it. And one team in the AFC South. There are two teams that are making some moves in the AFC South, it looks like, or the storm clouds could be gathering. And I wonder what the GM makes of it, and do either of those storm clouds and rumors and whatnot, do they worry you? We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.